Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of Luke. From chapter 6, we'll read verses 17 through 26. In the New King James Version Pew Bible, we're on page 1469. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. Luke 6, 17. And Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear Jesus and be healed of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch Jesus, for power went out from him and healed them. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes toward his disciples and said, Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Mr. Irrelevant. That was the nickname given to Brock Purdy in 2022 in the National Football League draft. Owners, general managers, and coaches spend thousands of hours evaluating prospective player skills and physical fitness. Someone is selected first, and someone is selected 262nd, Mr. Irrelevant. In the upcoming 2022 season, no one expected Brock Purdy would play. Just a few months later, however, injuries to the starting and backup quarterbacks Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo, the rookie Brock Purdy led his team, the San Francisco 49ers, to two playoff wins. In God's evaluation, no one is irrelevant. Everyone has a place and purpose. As we live today, we look to tomorrow. Last Sunday, much of the world paid attention to the 59th Super Bowl of the National Football League. Much attention was focused on another quarterback, Jalen Hurts of the Philadelphia Eagles. While I doubt anyone ever referred to him as Mr. Irrelevant, his career has had its ups and downs. Played as a freshman, a quarterback for Alabama, and that hadn't happened in 32 years since Vince Sutton in 1984. He was breaking records, winning some major games, leading the team to the 2016 National Championship appearance, then being benched in the 2017 National Championship to allow rising quarterback Tua Tagovailoa to lead the team to a win. As a man of character, Jalen Hurts celebrated with teammates, then later admitted crying on his daddy's shoulder in the hotel room, "What are we going to do now?" His father's steady answer, "We do what we always do. We keep working." Hurts stayed with his Alabama team and played as backup quarterback in 2018. To Coach Saban's credit, he brought in a quarterback coach, Dan Enos, to work with Hurts and others. To Hurts' credit, he worked hard and progressed and played as a relief and had a moment of redemption when he replaced an injured Tua to lead his team to a comeback victory against Georgia in the Southeastern Conference Championship game. In 2019, Jalen Hurts transferred to Oklahoma, where he broke school passing and running records. He finished second to Joe Burrow from LSU in the Heisman Trophy selection. In the 2022 draft, Jalen Hurts went in the second round as number 53 to the Philadelphia Eagles. He led them to Super Bowl 57 in 2022, where they were defeated 35-38 by the Kansas City Chiefs. An image saved on his phone was Jalen walking off the field with Kansas City Chiefs colored confetti falling on him. He quietly told an assistant coach, "I will be back." Well, football fans had a rematch for last Sunday's Super Bowl game, Kansas City Chiefs against Philadelphia Eagles. In this game, Jalen Hurts led his team, thanks to offense, defense, special teams, and coaches, to a 40-22 victory. He was selected as the most valuable player. Hertz remarked, "God is good. He has been with us through the highs and the lows. To God be the glory." To all the highs and lows of his life and career, he noted that it all goes into making us who we are for the next great moment. We keep working and moving forward. It's all in God's timing. Football is a game. It's impressive to me what athletes are able to do with a ball and teammates. I had my favorite highlight moments during the game, but my very favorite was in those first few interviews and moments after the game. The Philadelphia Eagles head coach, Nick Sirianni, emotionally expressed, "God blessed us very much in giving us talent to get here. So first and foremost, I want to thank him. This is the ultimate team game. It was offense, defense, special teams, squad teams, coaches. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus." Certainly, there are Christians on the Kansas City Chiefs team as well, so I'm not suggesting that God was controlling the color of the confetti that would rain down on the victors. I am, however, reminded that we all have our opportunities to thank God and give God the glory in our lives. We all have situations where we can do the very best that we can and join with others in the ultimate privilege of life. One way in which Jalen Hurts is different than many is in that he doesn't have a goal such as Super Bowl victory or MVP. He strives to be the greatest that he can, whatever that may turn out to be. It keeps you striving on those days that have those lows, as well as those days that have their highs. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:7 through 8, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me, not only me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." The Super Bowl winning team gets the Vince Lombardi Trophy, which is named after the coach who led the Green Bay Packers to win the first two Super Bowl games in 1967 and 68. But even better than that shiny trophy is the crown of righteousness that God has for us. It's not based on our righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's not based on what we have done, but what Jesus has done. We simply love him. Jesus teaches us to see earthly blessings or woes with heavenly insight. The word blessing means a favored status with God. One who is blessed is endowed with power to pursue their course of life within the blessing. In spite of difficulties at the present time, the promises of God's salvation and God's coming kingdom can bring a state of happiness for being with God. Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. It can be a blessing to be poor because it can lead us to the kingdom of God. A kingdom of God is rich with forgiveness and grace, a kingdom with no more curse of death. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Fulfilled means satisfied. One who is blessed is fully satisfied in God, regardless of circumstances. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Sometimes a person is healed and life goes on, and we laugh with the blessing of God. When there's not a healing, we wonder why that person had to suffer, maybe even die. We may not see the blessing of God. The blessing of God is in the comfort. The blessing of God is in the assurance of heaven. Blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. You are in God's favor when others talk about you, leave you out, and even say you're evil because you call Jesus Lord and Savior. From an earthly perspective, it may not feel like God's favor, but Jesus says that that is a day for rejoicing. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. Jesus has taken things that we might call woes or troubles of life, and he's lifted them up and called them blessings. There are things to rejoice about because when you gain them, you'll gain the kingdom of God. You'll be satisfied. You'll laugh. You'll rejoice. You'll gain a great reward in heaven. Then Jesus takes those things that we might call blessings, and he calls them woes. Woe means great sorrow or distress. We might think, "Woe is me. I'm having financial difficulties." Instead, it's the opposite. "Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. A warning is given to those on earth who are rich, and they're full, and laughing, and receiving compliments. One can become so satisfied on earth that one doesn't recognize a need for God. One can mistake well done from people as a well done, thou good and faithful servant from God. In his book, Hope in the Dark, Believing God is Good When Life is Not, Craig Rochelle shares a conversation with a Christian counselor friend of his. They were talking about all the terrible, painful, unbelievable things that people go through. So Craig asked his friend, "So what do you tell people when they come to see you with intense, unbearable, unimaginable pain or loss?" The friend looked at him for a moment and quietly said, "The truth." Craig waited for him to continue. "I tell them that I don't have any good reason for what they're going through, but that God grieves with them just as much and will somehow use this as a catalyst for greater good." Craig asked, "Do you really believe that?" He said, "I do. It took me a long time, but yes, I do." He shared about abuse in his childhood by a friend of his family, his father's alcoholism, his own attempt to run away from God through drugs, sex, and alcohol. He concluded, "Sometimes we have to grieve the losses in our life before we can clear a space inside where our faith has room to grow. That's the only way to grow closer to God when terrible things happen." C.S. Lewis, who was a theology professor and author, said, "God's agenda is not our immediate happiness. God is much more committed to our eternal joy, our spiritual growth, and the conditions of our heart." What was the worst day of your life? Were you crushed with the stock market crash of 1929? Or did you crumble with the financial crisis of 2007? Was your world blasted with the bombing of Pearl Harbor on December the 7th, 1941? Or did it collapse with the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center on September the 11th, 2001? Was it the day your loved one slammed the door shut on your heart? Or was it the final closing of the loved one's eyes? Was it when you opened your lunch box and it was empty, or when you had nothing to put on the table to feed your family? Maybe it wasn't a day, but a week, a month, it seemed a decade. Maybe it's been a lifetime of poverty or hunger or weeping or being left out or made fun of because you're a Jesus freak. Or you could be the one who feels genuinely sorry for those who have experienced such things, but you personally, it's been a good life, with nary a hardship or a broken heart. What was the best day of your life? Was it when you won your big game, or the day you finished school? Maybe it was the day you got married or had a child. Maybe it was the day you got a job, or the day you retired. Maybe good days for you are days of travel. Maybe they're simple days of being at home with sunrises and sunsets. Maybe it was the day you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus teaches us to see earthly blessings or woes with heavenly insight. Blessed are those who believe God. Woe to those who do not believe God. As we live today, we look to tomorrow. We acknowledge that the things we do today will impact our earthly tomorrow and heavenly reward. Those who plant a tree, those who plant a seed of whatever kind, have hope for tomorrow. Those who are poor and persecuted should rejoice, for they will be rewarded. Those who are rich on earth should not be content, but be cautious. Blessings that we have, they come with the responsibility to use them in a way that benefits the kingdom of God. We do not want the riches of this earth to hinder our enjoyment of the riches of God's kingdom. We do not want the laughter of today to take the place of joy in the kingdom of God. We do not want the compliments of humans to obstruct God's words of "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." God chose you as number one for his team. You are relevant. You have a purpose and a place in God's heart and God's kingdom. Let us pray. Oh God, as we live today, let us look to your promises for tomorrow. Let us trust you. Amen.